pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask that You would once again feed us from Your Word, that we would see our Lord Jesus Christ, and that we would see through Him the glory of You, our Heavenly Father. Lord, help us to behold Your glory with our eyes of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Bibles should just like automatically open to that because it's so worn out from turning to 20. But anyway, Exodus chapter 19, we'll begin reading at verse 1 and continue through the end of the chapter. Hear now the word of our God. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all these words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, Take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, Set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Just going to wet my whistle. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we come to a passage in which some wonderful gospel truths are imparted to us in picture form. It is quite providential that we come to this passage on our first Sabbath in a new building. I was thinking, what should I preach on in the first service here in a new building? And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, how about just the next chapter? Because this fits really rather well, as I hope you'll see. And it's because at Mount Sinai, we see what comes to pass is the reason for why God had taken the children of Israel out of Egypt in the first place. Why did God take the children of Israel out of Egypt? Because he wanted them to come and worship him. He wanted his people to come and glorify him and enjoy him. Starting then and continuing on forever. God brought them to this mountain to worship him and to be in his presence. Though as we'll see, there's still a separation at this presence. It also tells us something of God's wonderful grace that's given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll get to that in a moment. But I think you see the connection between us gathering for the first time in a new place of worship and Exodus 19. We need to be reminded of why are we here? Why are we gathered together? We're not here just to sing songs. We are not here just to enjoy music. We're not here for the free coffee or the free food. We're not here to talk with people about how our week went. We're not here to just be a community for being a community's sake. I'm not your community organizer, as so many politicians love to claim that they are. I'm not that. I'm very thankful I'm not that, but I'm not that. We are here to worship the Lord. To worship him in singing his praises, to worship him in giving our offerings, praying to him, giving our offerings, praying to him, listening to his word and observing the sacraments, and worshiping the Lord with everything else that happens on this day. But we are here for worship. This is in stark contrast to our culture, and it's in stark contrast even to the sub-Christian culture that we reside in North America. The culture and even what happens in many churches across this land promote the worship of self, not the worship of God. That is why we are here, though, to worship the Lord. H.B. Charles Jr., I think I've used this story with you once before, but it's worth telling again. He tells the story of a parishioner that came up to the pastor after the service, and the parishioner said to the pastor, "Pastor, worship just didn't do anything for me today." And the pastor responded, "Good, We weren't worshiping you. And that's exactly what we need to be reminded of. Today isn't about us. God made it for us, but it isn't about us. That's a very important distinction. This day is all about the Lord. This day is an opportunity for us to worship God, to take a break from all of the other things that have to happen in the other 6 days, and to focus our attention on our God, and to worship Him. To worship Him for all the things that He has made, and to worship Him for all the things that He's redeemed. That, of course, includes us. And that's no small thing to worship the Lord for. So let us remember why we're here. Let's remember that today, right now. But let's remember that every time we gather together in this place, or maybe in the future, whatever place it is, no matter where it is, wherever we are gathered together, let us remember why we are together. It's not together for the sake of being together. It is we are gathering together to worship the Lord. The first thing that we need to know in order to worship our God correctly is that we need to know who He is. And that is what Exodus 19 reveals to us. We see this in the way that God reveals Himself to His people on the mountain. Read with me at verses 16 through 19, if you would. Verses 16 through 19. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke, because the Lord descended upon it, notice that, in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Why does God choose to reveal Himself to His people in this way? That's an important question we need to ask. Why does God choose to reveal Himself to His people in this way? He could have done it in a number of ways, couldn't it be? But why this way? Why didn't He reveal Himself to His people in silence? You hear that a lot today. God speaks to me in the silence. Well, God didn't do that here. Why didn't He? Why didn't God reveal Himself in a whisper? Like He did with Elijah on Mount Sinai. Why didn't God choose to reveal Himself in a dove coming down from heaven? Or we could think of any number of ways that God could have chosen to reveal Himself, but He chose to reveal Himself to His people in this way. Why this way? Why with thunder and lightning? So great that the ground was shaking and the mountain was covered in smoke, and the Lord had descended upon the top of the mountain in fire. Why that way? Well, because he wanted to teach them something very important about himself, and thus something very important about how his people were to worship him. He was revealing to his people that he is the thrice holy God. That he is not someone that can just be lightly approached. God wanted his people to fear him in a good sense, to reverence him, to know his holiness and his awesomeness. The 10 plagues and the Red Sea crossing, water made sweet, manna from heaven and water from a rock were all signs to the Israelites that the Lord is not like the gods of all the other nations. They are figments of men's imaginations. Yahweh is the one true and living God. All of that would have shown the Israelites that Yahweh is powerful and that he can and will provide for his people. But now the Lord is revealing himself to the Israelites in this way because he is teaching them that they cannot worship him like the pagans worship their gods. That they were not to bring the idol worship that they had learned in Egypt with them. That they were to have no part of that. That they would not treat Yahweh like all the Egyptian gods that we learned about. That kind of worship was unfitting for him because he is holy, holy, holy. Yahweh is not someone that just anyone can approach. Remember, in all the pagan religions, there was not this real line of separation between the deity and the worshiper. That didn't really take place in the same way that it did in Israel. You can remember the story of Samson. Maybe sounds random, but remember how Samson died. He was in the temple, presumably of Dagon. And what was going on in this temple? Well, you didn't have everybody sort of quarantined off from the sacred space and we can't approach Dagon, he's too holy for us. No, what are they doing? They're having a party. Not the great kind of party, a bad kind of party. They're getting drunk among a whole bunch of other things all around in the temple. They worshiped this idol, but they certainly didn't regard this idol as holy. And you can see that in our own culture with the idols that we have in our society. Nothing is holy anymore. Nothing is sacred. We worship all kinds of things in this culture. We worship death. We worship money. We worship things. We worship identity and status. We worship all kinds of things in this society, but none of them are sacred. Nothing is holy. You can do whatever you want and in whatever way you want. There is no understanding that this is sacred. This is holy. But the Lord teaches his people here at Mount Sinai, you can't worship me like that. You must regard me as holy. And so God chooses to reveal himself to his people in this way. But that's not the only reason why the Lord decides to reveal himself to his people in this way. Brothers and sisters, as we read over the description of how the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai, did any light bulbs go off in your head about something that sounded very familiar that we have gone through together? So I know you've read it, because I preached on it. Is there something that sounds familiar? Genesis, chapter 15. Remember what happens there. The Lord commands Abraham to cut animals in half, place them on either side of a ditch so the blood would run down. Abraham falls into a deep sleep, and what happens? The Lord passes by and walks through that blood by himself. How was the Lord pictured there in Genesis 15? God reveals himself as a smoking oven and a burning torch. And so God coming down on the mountain in fire and light. We have to remember lightning was seen as not the same thing as fire, but of the same sort of nature as fire because it gives light. The Lord has descended upon Mount Sinai in fire and smoke. That was all to remind his people that he has come to them in his awesome holiness, yes, but he has also come to them in his covenantal faithfulness. I have promised to be a God to you and you to be my people. That is what God has promised. He promised that all the way back to Abraham. And now he is coming and making the same covenant with his people. It is covenant renewed. Covenant expanded, absolutely, but covenant renewed. You are my people. And I have not come down to destroy you. But I have come down to be gracious unto you. And the Lord in his wisdom knew that we needed to hear that message of God coming to us in grace just this way. Because he knows our sinful human nature and how easily it is for us to take it all for granted. To take God's grace as something light. We do that, don't we? We treat God's grace as if it is cheap. Because if we saw the greatness of God's grace in saving us from our sins, we would work a whole lot harder at not sinning. And following the Lord in every way to the utmost. This is why God reveals himself to us and to his people throughout all generations in this way at Mount Sinai. To remind us of just how amazing God's grace really is. It's not some light thing. It is a heavy thing. Glory in Hebrew literally means heavy. heavy. Something with substance and weight. Because when we think about who our God is, there's nothing light or little about Him. And when we think upon the salvation that He's provided us in Jesus Christ, there is no part of that that we would say, well, that's just not really that significant. I can brush over that. Don't really need to learn about that so much. Don't really care too much. No, everything about who our God is and the way of salvation that He's provided us is awesome. God comes to His people. He reminds them and shows them of who He is. That He is the thrice holy God that is covenantally faithful to His people. Now, another thing that we should note in this passage is that Moses was supposed to make sure that there was a physical barrier between the people and the mountain, so that only the holiest of people could go up to the Lord. That the Lord and only the holy people that God Himself had called to come up to Him. We see in this passage that Moses is the mediator, though Aaron does go up at the end. And so we do see that there is both of them act as mediators, and that of course makes sense. Moses as the prophet leader of the people, but also Aaron as the high priest of the nation of Israel. But what does that tell us? That only Moses and Aaron were allowed to go up on the mountain, and normally only Moses. What does that tell us? Well, it communicates to the Israelites, as it does to us today, that we are in need of a mediator. It further communicates to the Israelites that God is to be worshipped as He is holy, 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 and that if we are ever to come into His presence, and if we are ever to receive grace and mercy from Him and His blessed words, we must have a mediator. It's this barrier that's set around the mountain is a real physical representation of the distance that had to be maintained between the Lord and sinful human beings, or else the wrath of God would destroy them. This is a reminder to us as well of the separation that our sin has caused between us and God. We cannot come into His presence as we are in our sin. That's why my dad always hated that hymn. Not really a hymn, the worship song, Come As You Are, because we never come as we are. We always come in Christ. We can never come in our sin. We cannot come in our sin into the presence of God, or else we will surely die. There is a reason that God says anyone who gets on this mountain, stone him or shoot him with an arrow. Maybe you wonder, that sounds really harsh. was a grace. Because it would be far better for them to be stoned or shot with an arrow than for the almighty fire of God's wrath to come down and consume that person. We cannot come into God's presence as we are in our sin. It is so serious that we read in verse 21, God came down and told Moses to go down and warn the people lest they break through to gaze at the Lord and many of them perish. We cannot in our sin come to God or we will surely die. But there was a person who was allowed to go up on Mount Sinai. Moses and Aaron are allowed, as I said, to go up this time, but Moses is normally the one that goes up, and that was all to foreshadow a symbol pointing forward to the reality that the people needed a mediator in order to dwell in the presence of God and be at peace with Him. They needed somebody to be a go-between. And my brothers and sisters, this was all pointing forward to our need for Christ and for the work that He would do. For Christ on the cross kept the covenant promise of God to save His people from their sins, and He tore down the barrier that was between us and God. Remember, when Christ died on the cross, what happened in the temple? The curtain between the holy place and the holy of holies was torn in two from top to bottom so that we would be ushered into God's glorious presence. We have been ushered in to the glorious presence of God and not consumed by His wrath against our sin. That should amaze us. We are graciously ushered into God's presence because we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. This was also pictured on the mountain of Transfiguration. Remember, Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the top of a mountain. And Moses and Elijah were there, the two other people that had met with God on Mount Sinai in intimacy. And there, the glory of God shone through our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they, in the presence of God, in the midst of a cloud, heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." And at that, what did they do? They fell flat on their faces. And they were afraid. Because they had seen the glory of God and they had heard His voice. And what does Jesus do? He goes over to them. He touches them. And He says, "Arise and do not be afraid." How could these sinful men, being in the glorious presence of God, not be afraid of being absolutely undone and destroyed, like Isaiah in Isaiah 6? Where He calls down a curse upon Himself. Isn't Jesus being insensitive there? Of course they had every reason to be afraid. They're sinful. And God is holy. But Jesus isn't being insensitive. He's telling them the truth. They don't have to be afraid in the presence of God. They don't have to be afraid in the sense that They have to worry about whether God is going to destroy them or not. Why? Because they're with Jesus. And that makes all the difference. They're with Jesus. We don't have time to go over the last point. You're probably worried. He hasn't even gotten to the last point of the sermon yet. But we'll have to skip that and come back next time to the last point. And dealing with the important topic of covenant. But that's, I guess, going to have to be another sermon. But in closing, what we learn from this passage is that Christ has come and He is the image of the invisible God. He is our mediator and the perfect mediator because He is God and man. And we have been ushered into the presence of God behind the veil by the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, let us then live our lives as those who walk before the face of God. Let us live lives that seek to glorify God and worship Him in all things, remembering where Christ has brought us into the heavenly holy of holies. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks and praise for this, Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for revealing Yourself to us in this way because we need to be reminded of who You are, that You are holy, holy, holy. And we pray that as we reflect upon who You are, that we would increasingly be amazed that we could be in Your presence and not be consumed. That we would be overcome by just how amazing Your grace is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, You know our tendency to be dry and cold and dead in our spiritual walk. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that You would enliven us by Your Holy Spirit and cause us to be set on fire with an undying passion to worship You in all of life in every way, in hearing Your Word, in singing Your praises, in praying to You, in speaking about You to one another and encouraging other brothers and sisters in Christ with the truths of Your Word and sharing the gospel with all those around us. Lord, may we seek to worship You in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.